Every human being has an attempt and an effort that he or she makes to become good, pious, upright. Children should be good, pious. Our home, household, family should be good, and we should do good deeds. Everybody has this desire or this longing. So my brothers, there is one solution to fulfill this, to attain this. And that is the solution for these desires. That we do the ittiba of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person obeys the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically a person starts to do good. And when a person leaves following the Prophet ﷺ, then he goes towards the sins, and more sins come into his life. The Prophet ﷺ's blessed habits, these are an example for us. These are the guidelines for us that take us to our destination. These are not small points and words. These are great, great events, the blessed habits of the Prophet ﷺ. But what's lacking in our lives is that we don't understand or hold in high esteem the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow our own desires and our own methods. In the Quran, Allah has mentioned in many places. Allah has mentioned in the Quran, in one place Allah Ta'ala said, "Inna Allah la yahdi qawm al-zalimin." The Mufassirin, the commentators of the Quran, have written a beautiful, you could say, commentary of this verse, because I will speak regarding the commentators. I am not capable that I give translation or give tafsir or commentary of the Quran. So whatever I've heard, whatever the pious predecessors have written, recorded, done tafsir, is what I will share with you. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. Now this is a great verse, and this is the last part of a verse. Last part, where Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the zalimeen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "No doubt, verily, I don't give hidayah. I don't give hidayah. The zalim are those people." So two things, Allah says, "I don't give hidayah," and they are zalim. So this is jalal of Allah's in this verse. Allah's wrath. Allah says, "I don't give guidance, hidayah to these people." And nor does Allah Ta'ala, to such people, type of people, Allah says, I give them the title of zalim, oppressors. Those who do dhulam on their own souls, on their own selves, they've done so much dhulam, they are zalims on themselves. Obviously, if we do sin, guna, we become zalim. And we don't even understand what we are doing to ourselves. We're inflicting wounds, spiritual on our own selves. When we do sin, after every sin, there's a punishment. We don't exercise caution. We don't take care. So Allah Ta'ala said, such people who flagrantly do what they want and sin, Allah Ta'ala says, these people are the zalimeen. I don't give them hidayah. I don't even give them the tawfiq, ability to come towards hidayah. Here the commentators of the Quran have stated, the reason for this is that they don't even have the intention to turn towards the right path. They don't even think, even if they're doing bad, they don't even think that, oh, I should become good, or I should come on the right path, or get guidance. No, they don't even have intention. For example, if you're doing an amal, and you make the amal routine, not that I'm doing this amal because Allah Ta'ala will give me hidayah, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That's the irada, the intention we should have. What has Allah Ta'ala given to us at this moment, brothers? Tawfiq, to do what? To do dhikr, to remember Him. Allah seated us, sat us down, and we are listening to a few words about the deen, Quran, hadith. Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. So if a person intends, I'm going to this majlis, okay, I'll eat later on today, guests are coming, I'll delay them. Look at the things you have to do, isn't it? It's a big point that today I'll work less. And today, from morning, you start preparing some brothers, sisters, they start, everyone has their own sort of importance placed on the majlis today. Okay, I didn't sleep fully. Okay, I'll sleep a bit in the afternoon, but tonight there's dhikr, then I'll be fresh and I won't be tired. In the majlis, or your phone home, that can you iron my clothes? I'm coming from work and I need to and quickly make the food. I've seen brothers that such majlis, to go to the majlis, they eat early or they eat late. So Allah Ta'ala, is He not watching all of this? That are we going to watch some drama? Is that where we're going? Or are we going to see some Tom and Jerry? No. It's not for the dunya. Allah Ta'ala is watching that. He is preparing for my dhikr, this person. So all these actions, preparation is intention. Intention and preparation. That I want to go, I want to join in. So Allah loves those actions when a person prepares for good deeds, and Allah will forgive on those actions. Subhanallah. So when a person makes just the intention mentally in his mind, then Allah Ta'ala says that I then bring that person to hidayah, to guidance. Allah gives you that. If we all intend, oh, I'm going to go tonight to the majlis, do dhikr, Allah will give me the tawfiq, I'll listen to the bayan, and Allah will make me good, and I'll earn thawab. So these are just intentions. Mental thinking, I'll go and I'll get this, and I'll do this. Isn't it? Just thinking. We haven't done anything. So Allah Ta'ala then translates that into physical action. So this is such a qawm. Allah says, but those people, who Allah is mentioning in this verse, Allah says, I don't even give them hidayah. They are zalims. From one sin to the next, in the darkness they sin, in the light they sin. They have stacks of sin upon each other. They don't listen to me, Allah says. They don't take heed. Who are those people? Who are those people Allah is referring to? Who Allah Ta'ala doesn't give hidayah? Or Allah Ta'ala calls zalim. Allah said in the beginning of the verse who these people are. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ فَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا. Allah Ta'ala says that these are those people who وَمَا أَدَلُّوا. Allah Ta'ala says that they follow the hawa. Allah Ta'ala says they don't follow the guidance I've given them. The verse starts from this point. And in the end Allah says that these people won't get hidayah, and nor will they get guidance, because they are zalim, they are oppressors. So who are these people Allah Ta'ala has mentioned? And which sin are they occupied in? First let's hear the illness that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. Allah says that these are those people who do not obey, they don't follow what has been given to them, the hidayah. Allah says, I don't give them guidance, I take hidayah far from them, and they are immersed in the sins of dhulam upon dhulam. Who are those people? Allah has said clearly, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا يَتَّبَعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that these are those people who go towards the ittaba of their nafs. They are the servants of their desires, and they are immersed or drowned in their desires. Their nafsiyati, their spiritual base desires, they run after that, and they're used to following their desires. Allah Ta'ala says that they want to live the life according to their own opinions, what they like, what they dislike. That's how they live their day. If they pray salah, they'll pray when they feel like. I'll pray this part and I'll leave this part. I'll pray this much and I'll leave the rest. Any amal, if it's Islamic amal, they'll do that amal which they like. And if it's sunnah to eat halwa, they'll do that, and everything else they put to the back. Halal meat, they'll fulfill the sunnah. They'll wander all the way around the world to look for halal meat and look for stamp and seal of approval. And they don't know the rest about halal and haram. And they'll keep on eating and drinking what they want. When it comes to interest, they'll take interest, riba, do business, earn unlawful earnings. They'll have shops and businesses, and they'll also go to the masjid. Is this life, my brothers? So what do we call this? This is called following your desires. Allah Ta'ala says that what your desires say, oh, let's just do amal on what our desires say, Allah says. This is what they say. That Allah Ta'ala has given us 5 times a day salah. 5 times salah, whoever prays, then he is listening to Allah, isn't he? So Allah Ta'ala has given a hukum further, the 5 times salah, I've given you health, and your health is correct, your condition is correct. So where should we pray salah? Where? In the masjid. In the masjid. No, I'm going to another country. Will there be masjid there? Allah Ta'ala says, it's for you to go, and I will give you the masajid for you to pray in. Subhanallah. Not one. So many masjids. Took 60, 70 years. Our pious elders who came here first asked them. There was nothing here. There was no masjids. Yes, obviously, because when they came to this country, there were no masjids. But when Allah Ta'ala sent the mu'min, then Allah Ta'ala fulfilled all the requirements for the Muslimin. So this is proven that Allah Ta'ala prepares for the needs of the human being. Allah knows what we need, and we didn't have to do anything extra. So following our desires and our own opinions, and doing what I will feel like, I'll do what I feel like. These are those people who worship their desires. They go left, they go right. Sometimes they become lovers of Allah, and sometimes they become dalil. So they change their color, their form, their opinion, their practice, their nafs changes. Sometimes they're angry, sometimes they obey, sometimes they're generous, sometimes they have love, sometimes they're enemies, sometimes they swear, sometimes they give love. What do we call these people? Who are these people? These are people who follow their desires, how expressed. Allah says that these are yattabuna ahwa. These people do ittiba of their desires, Allah Ta'ala says. That when they come to one part of the world, there'll be something, they go to another society, you won't be able to recognize them. Was this that person who was in the masjid yesterday? He's changed so much. Allah says, this is they'll change their style, their form, their practice. And there's another sort of statement nowadays, isn't it? That wherever you are, that's how you should be. Whichever country you're in, or whichever hemisphere you're in, you should be like that. The whole world is the abode for the mu'min, and our way of life is the same, consistent wherever we go. So I'm speaking about these things because I need to see in my own life. I'm doing a bit of fiqh, that this verse that I've recited, I'm reciting with you, sharing with you the verses that I like, I share. And we discussed together, I thought, well, we need to think about this, that am I a person who follows his desires? That is this really what I am like? Am I following my nafs, the things I like, I do, and I take those, and the things I dislike under the banner of Islam, I leave, and I think I'm the best Muslim? So if Ramadan comes, the masjids fill up, and after Ramadan, the masjids are empty. Yes, if a big day or big night comes, the whole masjid is full. We start doing du'as, we dim the lights, people do drama and getting excited, and after that everyone's disappeared, everyone's back to normal. This is called tradition. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah la yahdi." The question doesn't arise that such dhalims will get hidayah. Allah Ta'ala says they consider that they are following the deen. This is impossible. Allah says, are these people Muslim? Allah says there are many millions of Muslims, on what is their hal today? Yes, we have no complaint with anybody. We should not complain to others or blame others. We should blame ourselves. The person who has left Allah, and Allah has left that person. Why do we complain and cry? But this is not Allah Ta'ala who we should complain to or criticize, that we follow what we want to do and follow our desires. No. The hukam, the order is, Allah says, if I order you to pray salah, then stop everything. Close your shops, leave your wife, leave your home, leave everything, pack everything up, put it away. Nothing should be there. If you trust me, then I'm going to give you rizq, I'm going to give you iman, I'm going to give you health, I'm going to give you money, I'm going to give you children, I'm going to give you sustenance and a happy life and wife, etc. Allah says, my order has come, go and prostrate to me, salah time. That's it. And the person who does this at the right time, and the person says, no, it's not now. I have to earn my money. I am at work. I have to fill my till and my safe. And the business is demanding of work now. No excuses at salah time. Allah 7 is that 7. When the hukam comes, the order comes, immediate obedience. Immediate. 2 minutes. Let's look in our lives. Is this our lifestyle every day? Ask yourself honestly. Honestly. If it's not, then it's a waste of time. Allah says, Inna Allah la yahdi. Yes, that if you make the intention to be good, then the first thing we should do is what? The Allah, I don't want to be two-faced. I want to be the ashik, subhanallah. That's it. And there are many steps you have to take in the journey of ishq. You will be mocked maybe, joked against, laughed at. There are challenges and tests when you think you're a lover of Allah. Not that, oh, for example, as soon as there's hardship, oh, you start swearing at people and swearing against people's parents and their family, and you're telling me about deen. No, don't tell me about Islam. Forget that. No. I don't need to know anything from you. Don't tell me what to do. Don't lecture me. Astaghfirullah. And sometimes a person, he speaks out of nice love and affection, etc. So, two-faced. Two directions in life. Is this correct? No. And this is our life, my friends. Embrace the deen. then we should hold on to the deen so firmly. Allah Ta'ala says, then don't leave the deen due to dunya, wife, business, money. How can these things make me leave salah? Forget all of this. Forget all of this. And not just that such great sahaba, more than 100,000 came to this earth. They demonstrated this to us. Their stories are there forever. We hear their names, we hear their events, and it gives us sakina and peace and satisfaction. They are the shining stars in the sky, and they will continue to shine until the day of judgment. And those great individuals, the sahaba, who demonstrated to us. And today we walk around, or we don't know what is deen. Let's just beware. This is not hidayah path you're following. The sujood that you pray when you feel like, you read the Quran when you feel like, and you hide the verses that are hard for you, and the verses that give you what you want. For 10 hours you'll do tafsir and commentary, and then when the right things come up, you hide them. Oh no, I don't need to practice this. Don't tell the people about this. So Allah says, what kind of Islam is this? That you just take what you want and leave what you want. So when this time comes, or when this qawm comes, then Allah Ta'ala says, then the law, it comes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي. Allah says, قَوْمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah says, they are zalim, that you are people who follow your nafs, and Allah says that you are joking against my deen, because you are worshipping your desires. So let's do dua that we are not from those people. Say Ameen. Because this will not be life. Read the Quran, Allah says. And those people, mashallah, who have written tafsir of the Quran, listen to their tafsir of some wali Allah is speaking, or an alim, a pious alim, a scholar, or a muhaddith is speaking about deen. And such good people come to our masjids, ulama ikram, on Friday they speak, they tell us, they inform us. Listen to them. That what does the Quran tell us? What is the Quran explaining to us? What is the order for us here? From India they come, even here they are present, mashallah, scholars with ilm, alims who tell us that do this, etc. But we become like animals that we don't understand what the deen is today. So do we understand, brothers? So what did we understand? That Allah Ta'ala will not give hidayah. Allah Ta'ala says that person is totally empty and a waste, because he has that disease, because he's worshipping his nafs, he's worshipping his desires. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the result of that. And the Quran tells us this. Subhanallah. In the beginning, the Quran is telling us, what's the reason that you are following your nafs? What's the reason Allah Ta'ala has done this? And if we understand this today, then when we realize what is the reason, then we'll get the cure. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When we get the cure, then Allah, the disease will go far from us. Isn't this the case? Yes, this is the case. When you go to the doctor, he won't look at your face and say straight away, here's the solution, here's the tablet, etc. He'll diagnose, he'll analyze what's happening inside the body. The beat, the heartbeat, and what's missing, what's there. When he realizes, then straight away he'll write the prescription. Yeah, and he'll give you the medicine. So Allah Ta'ala has given us here that this is how bad is the disease. You've gone so far from Allah. And what is the disease? Allah says, those people who worship their desires, follow their whims and their opinions, do what they feel like. What's the reason for this? Why is a person worshipping his desires? Why is he left Allah Ta'ala's deen? Then there's a reason for this. Allah explains. Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ. This is the verse. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ. فَعْلَمُوا عَنَّمَا يَتَبَعُونَ أَهْوَى. So this is the verse, isn't it? Yeah? Straightforward, Allah Ta'ala is explaining. The alims are here, hafiz are here, muftis are here, mashallah, scholars are here, they're listening. Yes? Clear cut. And this is the clear meaning of this verse. Systemically, Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us. And the pious elders would explain the Quran to us like this, because we don't understand. So the reason Allah Ta'ala is saying, first Allah Ta'ala, that's the reason, that why does a person worship his desires? Why did the previous nations worship the desires? What were the reasons? Why are we doing the same today? Allah Ta'ala has explained to us, straight away grappled, oh, is this, if we don't do this, then we'll be destroyed. Allah Ta'ala will punish us. So Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ. The reason is, that when you have left the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say Subhanallah. That when a person leaves ittaba'i Rasul, then he follows his nafs. He follows his nafs. When he leaves the Prophet's obedience, then he starts to follow his nafs. This is the reason when a man, a woman, a qawm, a tribe, a nation, a peoples, when they have iman, they have the kitab, they have the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his hidayah, his guidance, everything, they have all the dalail, all the proofs, everyone's there to explain. And when they leave it taba, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what point do they reach to conclusion? Then suddenly their life comes to which point? Ittiba'i nafs, following the desires. So this proves now that if a person wants to be saved from nafs and he wants to be released from his nafs and leave the life of following desires, what will he have to do? Ittiba'i of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. What a great solution to the problem. What a great solution to the problem. So today, if my life is half of this and half of that, I speak nonsense, I go this way, left and right. One day I'm an ashik, next day I leave the deen. One day I pray salah, next day I leave salah. Some day I'm practicing sunnah, next day I look different. And I walk around like an animal on the earth, and women do this and men do this. Then straight to understand Allah has given us the punishment for this. That all life long, Allah says, you don't have intention and you won't get hidayah. And in such a way, you will be thrown into the ditch of Jahannam. Like the dogs and the cats, Allah Ta'ala will give the maut, and such a maut will come. A person cannot imagine that the animals will devour the body. Yes? Insects. And this is the situation. Yes? Those who read the Quran, the Qawm, those who knew the Quran in their homes, there was Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that they will pass away in such a way that they're scattered over the earth and they're being devoured. These qawms are, the history is there to be learnt about. So this is just a few days. We think we are so much and nothing can happen to us. We will live forever. And you can do dua for whoever you want. Do dua for this qawm and that qawm. Read dua kunud. Think about yourself. Where are you today standing? Where are you standing today? Allah Ta'ala says, forget about other peoples and countries. Whatever is happening in the world, this is an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I'm giving you an example of what can happen. This is a sabak, a lesson. Allah Ta'ala says, the examples of the previous nations in the Quran, these aren't stories. Allah says, these are examples that this happens. When a qawm does this, then this is what happens to them. When they do wrong actions, then this is the conclusion. So Allah Ta'ala says that it just takes seconds for the tables to turn. Within seconds, moments, the tables can turn. Sometimes a person, for example, he is in jail. He has no permission to do anything. Those people were maybe kings some moments before. They had toilets made out of gold. Yes, toilets made out of gold. Yeah, they've created out of pure gold toilets and places to sit down. But then within seconds, they don't even get that place. They have to knock on the door. They're in the jail. Oh, I want to go to urinate. And no one listens to them that time. It was there in prison. The tables have turned. Allah Ta'ala says that وَتَعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَى وَتَزِلُّ مَنْ تَشَى. Allah says everything is in my control and power. Be afraid of your Rabb. Don't be munafiq, hypocrite. Your scenario can change. The life can change. Look at yourself. Allah says, look at yourselves and question yourselves. Where are you today? There's only one method to be saved. And what is that? Say it loudly. Ittaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Two opposite things. Either is ittaba'i Rasul in our lives, in a human being, or it'll be ittaba'i nafs, worshipping the desires. Either in a house, there'll be ittaba'i Rasul, or there'll be ittaba'i nafs. Or in that country, there'll be ittaba'i Rasul, or there'll be ittaba'i nafs. Cannot be both mixed together. Night and day are not mixed. Morning and evening are not mixed. They are separate. White and black are not mixed. They are separate. Two opposite things. So ittaba'i Rasulullah and ittaba'i nafs cannot mix. Yes, if in the background you have black and you write white, then the white will stand out and the background will be black. They won't be mixed. Rather, the black will say, this white is written on me. The white will be permanent on top of the black. Isn't it? If you are in dark and you write in white, the white will say, I am separate, shining, and the back is in the background, it's dark. The white will state this. So my brother ittaba'i Rasulullah will shine out in front of ittaba'i nafs. Ittaba'i Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is our life, our ruh. Without this, we cannot succeed. We can't. Now why has Allah said ittaba'i sunnah, ittaba'i rasul? Because the nafs, we could follow everything in our life according to our desires. Because the nafs is traveling with us. Wherever, every breath in the life, nafs is with us. And it tries to misguide us. Every breath, in the morning you get up, there'll be two things. On one side will be the obedience to the Prophet, on the other side will be obedience to the nafs. Both things will guide us. It's our choice. Which one do we select at that time? In the morning. If we see in the morning that the Prophet's ittiba is a bit painful or hard, for example, I have to go and do wudu and go to sleep. Nafs says, no, go to sleep without wudu. So then there's a clash in doing wudu, is zahiri, physical difficulty. But all night long you'll have ibadah written in your name. Angels will protect you. You'll be safe from the sins. And the angels will be assigned to that person. They'll do ibadah for that person while he's done wudu and gone to sleep. They'll do worship for him all night long. Yes, so a little bit of difficulty doing wudu, few minutes, bit of water, maybe cold, maybe a bit of struggling. But you have to do that, isn't it, if you want to get something in the after, because the ashik will realize at that time how big an ashik he is when there's a bit of time for struggling against the desires. Yes, just from this, that for example, a person for so long he didn't do the right thing, but at least after a lot of struggle over many years, at least he'll be recognized. Just from small things will run away. There was friendship. You're my friend, I'm your friend, I'm your ashik, I'll do this for you, etc. Then one opportunity came, and the person who worships the desires, he breaks the friendship after many years. At one point, no, me and you are finished, I'm going to do it myself now, you've let me down, I'll have to think about it. Over one small point, the friendships for many years. So the ashik says that at least some people should recognize that at least I've recognized you. Yes, that you at least have unraveled in front of me. You've come in front of me, O nafs. Otherwise, I didn't know. I thought you were good for me and I was being deceived, O nafs. So these are those who worship the desires. So from today, let's look at our lives. Our life should be a reflection of the sunnah. Every action this guide is how to get up in the morning, how to go to the bed in the night, what to do in the bed, how to go to sleep. There's guidance from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So read the sunnahs, my friends. Sunnah is our life. If you sit down to eat, two things will come. Either obeying the nafs or obeying the sunnah. When at home, children, relationship with the wife, rights of the wife. How is the wife going to live at home? How should she live from when we follow our desires? Wives are working, leaving the home, husband's doing something else. Opposite directions. This is not the household Islamic. So where do we bring deen into the house? Because our nafs is there, we need to first oppose that. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? This is the reason why today we are at loss and we have failed. Children are in the wild. Because we don't have principles at home. The laws Allah has given to us as families, as individuals. What should the woman do? What should the man do? What should A do? B do? C do? We need to follow this. The dunya will take us towards progression, prosperity, advancement. But as a mu'min, I say put everything to the side. What is the tarakki? Where is progress? In the laws and the rules of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's where progression is. Nowhere else. If you are standing at your shop, a man comes and says to you, I want to buy something from you. Or I bought this, I want to refund this, return this, give my money. Now here you can follow your desires, or you can follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does it by Rasul say? That if you sold this to him, then give his money back and take the product. Nafs says, no, I can't do this, my money will be lost, I worked hard. No, I can't do this for you. And you're making excuses. So your nafs says, no, you'll be benefited. You'll save money. Don't take the product back. But if you implement the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's orders and make the customer happy, okay, fine, that's my mistake. Here, give me the product back. Take your money, refund. Maybe there was an error here. Fair enough. And here's your money. Take it back and give me the products. Does anyone do this today? Does anybody? Yes, but we've booked our Hajj seats 1 year in advance. We come back from Umrah after Ramadan. The next Ramadan Hajj is already booked. Tickets already purchased. We don't even land from the airport. So, can you book my next year seats? And all the money is like this in the treasure chest, all unlawful. So what's happened to us today? What deen are we following? I don't understand what deen are we practicing today. I don't understand. From which mouth a person goes to the Kaaba, he stands in front of the Kaaba. Cannot imagine, how can a person present his face? Yes? Then which condition a person goes to the Rawda Mubarak? And how does he present himself? The Quran says that when you do dhulum on your own selves, when you are immersed in the sins, and you don't understand anything, then come to my Nabi, and come towards him, and go and accept and present yourself to Allah, and he will also do dua for you. Isn't this in the Quran? Isn't this? So, a person who is immersed in the sins, and he's standing there, the parents, the beards are cut, and women without parda, just run there, let's go there. And what are we going there to ask? The Quran is telling us to do something else. Allah has given us a massive opportunity when a person goes on Umrah. It's a massive, great, fantastic opportunity. Allah is saying, I've sent you on Hajj, I'm sending Umrah, go and ask for forgiveness. This maybe you will not get another chance in your life. And if you ask for forgiveness here in this blessed place, Allah says, I give you hukam. If you seek forgiveness here, Allah is rahm. The Prophet is rahmatul alameen. When you ask forgiveness from Allah, you do tawbah. Then the Prophet will intercede for you. When he intercedes for you, when you're at the rawdah, then I'll forgive you, Allah says. So what a great place the Holy Prophet himself is there. You're standing in front of his grave and speaking to him. Rawdah. And we are blind, we can't see. But the Prophet is watching us. He can see us, that this man's come. For example, you are sat in front of me and I put my hands in front of my eyes. Then you're not in front of me because I can't see you. Yes, but Allah said that we have a hand in front of our eyes. We can't see. But the Prophet ﷺ is there. He can see us. Allah Ta'ala sometimes unlocks the eyes and people see what Allah wants them to see. They can see as well. Yes, but the life a person lives like this. Oh, life from what life? Subhanallah. That tell me Durood Sharif I can recite so I can do ziyarah, dream about the Prophet. Or tell me Durood Sharif I can recite. Tell me some naat. Allah's given us the method already. The do ittiba'i Rasool. Follow the Prophet. Bring it into your life. And when you go and present yourself in the rawdah, then you will see the reality of life. Allah and His Rasul, Ashik lover, who has lived his life and he's avoiding the problems, the nettles, the thorns and the difficulties, and he goes and presents his issues, will the answer not come from Allah and His Rasul? I've seen people in my life, wallahi aswabal, I've seen people like this, who have received assistance. They had no magic, no black magic, no potion, no spell. But what was their solution? That they didn't live a second in the life about away from itabai sunnah. Tell me a recitation, a dua, a chilla, or durood. I'm an ashik, or please, I give my everything for the Prophet. I'm an ashik. I've seen these ashiks of the sheikhs and the ashiks of the Rasul. What kind of people these are? Who claim they are fraud? They're the worst fraudsters. Astaghfirullah. The worst fraudsters in the world. Yes, who says that there's a veil between us and Rasul? It's us who has put the veils between us. We have put the veils between ourselves and Allah and His Rasul. Become a proper ashik. Promise today that after today, our life, home, outside, wife, children, whatever loss there is, let it be. Let it be. If I live my life, I will tread carefully. What does Sharia say here? What did Nabi Sallallahu say here? What did our Pious Elder say here? What is the commentary of the Quran, etc., etc.? How do I live my life according to following, obeying the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu? And there was a tabi, and he was going to meet an ajeeb sahabi. Yes. And his name was Abdul Ghaffar. I'm just thinking, it's evaded my memory. Great, famous sahabi, who is, his name's included in the Ahle Bayt, in the family of the Prophet. So this tabi was looking for this sahabi. And he was looking, he reached to a masjid. And when he arrived at the masjid, he saw the sahabi was sitting in the corner, silent. And Mahbub, beloved sahabi, that his name was mentioned amongst the Ahl al-Bayt. He had a high status, he was very close to the Prophet. And he had a black sheet wrapped around him, just like it was the sunnah of the Prophet. And he sat in the corner, and he was sitting silently. And he said, I was looking for you, Hazrat, you're here, Abdul Ghaffar. So he said, that why are you sitting here? I was looking for you everywhere. I couldn't find you. And you're sitting in isolation on your own? Why are you sitting here? That you totally are living in isolation and silently, not amongst the other people. And he replied, the point is this, that the Holy Prophet ﷺ heard from here. Now listen here. That how great a sahabi is, but he wanted to fulfill this sunnah action. Imagine. Imagine. The how careful and cautious he was with regards to some one sahabi, how careful he was with regards to sunnah. He said, why are you sitting? He said, I'm sat here for this reason, because I heard from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this sahabi saying, that better than bad company is to sit in isolation and be on your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? Rather than better than bad society, bad friends, bad company, better than sitting with them is to sit on your own. So I have adopted a life of isolation. Seclusion. We say, I want to be good, I want to be good. And this was the topic when I started, that we want to be good, we want to do good deeds. Then do amal on this sunnah. Seclusion. And leave the wrong things or wrong company. Isolation. That, for example, wasteful activities, friends, society, contacts, how are you, what's going on, what's happening, standing, sitting, chit-chat, come for tea, we'll have a gossip, let's catch up on old times, ghibat, backbiting, hasad, talking about other people, talking down about other people, laughing about other people, enmity, friendship. So he said, no, I don't want this. So I've adopted a life of seclusion. I don't really meet anybody, I just sit on my own in seclusion. Subhanallah. And then what did he say after that? Subhanallah. They said, better than seclusion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you take the company of good people, good sohbet, that's better than seclusion. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So wasteful company is the worst. Coming after that, better is seclusion. And better than that is good company. So he didn't say that you also go in seclusion or isolation and don't meet people and live your life on your own. No, seclusion doesn't mean that, for example, you are on your own and take the thing out of your pocket and you start looking at things. No. This is not seclusion. Seclusion means seclusion away from wrong fitna. For the second one, not that I'm in seclusion and I live on my own, I'm in my own house and then I can do what I want after that. No. Then the fitna will come. Seclusion is nothing should be there that restricts you from reaching to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. And that's called seclusion. And if you practice this, inshallah, in your life you will have experience. If you people who sit in itikaf, yes? And those who sit 10 days and nights in itikaf, end of Ramadan, when they come out after itikaf, then the world looks really weird to them. What dunya is this I've come to? I'm not used to this for the last 10 days and nights. Because they didn't speak, rather they may have snored in the masjid and food's coming from home. Today's palau, my munna, my dear son's in itikaf. I want to send food for him and mango baskets. They come into the masjid and nice food and drink and everyone's having enjoyment in itikaf. Yes, and ibadah, they know what they're doing. And maybe they're using their phones in itikaf and they're talking, etc. But there's so much effect even despite all of this, because they're in seclusion in itikaf, in the masjid, they benefit. It's such a great sunnah. When a person then comes out of itikaf, goes back to the masjid, then thousands of bad things he's saved from, the disease of the eyes and tongue and ghibat and backbiting, whilst in itikaf, he's saved from those things. And after 10 days, Allah shown that person, demonstrated in Ramadan, how to abstain from the sins and the bad effects of the dunya. Allah showed us this in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala says that if you live your life, that if you live for 10 days and nights in the masjid, nothing, because you're not going to lose anything in the world. Yes, in those 10 days and nights you could be in the dunya the same way and just waste your time. So this is an example of seclusion and isolation. And so he said, this sahabi radiallahu anhu, that better than seclusion is if you get good company, good friends, then sit with those people. Yes, so if you don't sit in the car, if there's a dhikr majlis, a waaz, a speech, good people have come, wali of Allah, pious elder, good majlis is going on. So what is this? This is better than seclusion, better than being on your own. Because Allah says, I don't like seclusion. Yes, imagine this. Good company, good sohbet is better than seclusion. So this proves here that to find a wali, Allah, his sohbet is greater than itikaf. Subhanallah. Tell me this. Isn't it the case? Better than seclusion is the good company. Isn't it? This is the objective, that we want to get closer to Allah. Focus on Allah. Our objective isn't isolation. Seclusion. Allah says the best action is that where I get close to you. So if you're in isolation where there's a wasteful activity or company, then fine, go into seclusion. But then better than that is the masjid or the majlis and good company. Allah says, seek me. So today this sunnah we should also note down on our hearts, that today we've learnt, alhamdulillah, big message we're getting from the Quran, that if we do ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we won't worship the desires. If we want to be safe from worshipping the desires, then we should take the guidance on every step of our life from where? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. That's it. So the best method to be safe from wasteful sins, stop chit-chat, gossip, how are you, kayf al-al, what's your job, business, what is this? No need to discuss, give and take this. And what's the point of asking people if you don't know them? What's the point? That what's your business? Then he'll swear at you maybe a few times. Oh no, he's got my stock, he took my money, he sold this much, he did this, he'll swear at him a few times. All night long your ibadah, you will waste and within a minute you will lose everything. So do something, leave home, stay at home. Don't go to bad company where there's going to be chit-chat and gossip for nothing. If you realize there's dhikr somewhere, good majlis, do wudu and go to the better place than isolation and seclusion, the dhikr of Allah, the majlis. Yes, practice this for some days, alhamdulillah. Practice this for a few days, the how much change and improvement will come into life. You'll see this yourself. You'll see this automatically. So do dua to Allah. Let's pray to Allah. That Allah, what a great message. We munafiqs. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't be stuck in ittiba'i nafs. We think that we're great people. We're following the deen according to our desires. Our life is full. We are following our life full of desires. Try from today. Every second, every action of life. Maamlat, maashara, tijarat, business, buying, selling, giving, taking, tarbiyah of wife, children, dars, hadith. Whatever it is, wherever we are, we'll do in that way, that method. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the action that's best for you at this moment in time. It's better to we wake now, this is better to sleep now. Kalula, subhanallah, what a great ibadah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I like this action, this is better for you than the afternoon, even it's for a few minutes if you lie down. Yes, it is better for you. Kailula is great for you, alhamdulillah. The afternoon rest, and there are good effects of that. Fantastic. We sleep at that time, 3 or 4 hours. Then I take the blanket and sleep. I swear by Allah. Even 5-10 minutes, you sleep in the afternoon, kailula, afternoon nap, the siesta, then you get the freshness as if you slept the whole night. I tell you the truth from experience. From experience. Sometimes you feel like, today I'm tired, exhausted, I'll sleep a long time, and this time, the time's coming, isn't it now? The lengthy nights, mashallah. Yeah, the lengthy nights, then after Dhuhr, for example, Asr will be quick, and for example, then the summer will come with a lengthy time after Dhuhr. Let's snore now for the rest of the afternoon. No, we shouldn't do that. Qailula, keep a little bit of time, concise time. I saw my Hazrat, all lifelong, I saw him doing one practice, alhamdulillah. He had food, lunch, and then all the majlis would be dispersed that time. The majlis would be until 12 noon, Hazrat, after Ishraq, after Fajr, until Ishraq. Then after Ishraq, Hazrat would change his position at time. All night long, Hazrat would do ibadah. All night long, worship. Then will be Fajr, staying awake until from Fajr till Ishraq. Not sleeping after Fajr, dhikr. Then after Ishraq, sunrise, Hazrat would change his location. Then people would come after Ishraq. Hazrat Sahib would be sat in his batak, in his room, until 12 noon, fixed time in Pakistan. The times of Salah don't change much. So when it was 12:30, suddenly Hazrat Sahib would stand up, and the majlis would be dispersed. Hazrat Sahib would eat, few minutes, 15, 20 minutes for Salah. Hazrat Sahib would see, that after 25 minutes, Hazrat Sahib would sleep and come out fresh. And then he would sit again, and then from Dhuhr till Asr was a lengthy time, from Asr to Maghrib. Then after Maghrib, long maraqba, after Hazrat Sahib would disappear. Then after 10 minutes, Hazrat Sahib would come again, then it would be Isha Salah. Subhanallah, all his life long, I saw this was the action of Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh. So here's a tariqah, schedule, program of life and days. What should we do? When should we sleep? When should we wake up? We don't know when to eat. We say, what time do you eat? Oh, I eat when I'm hungry. Was it someone at 10 a.m., 10 p.m., 9 p.m.? When the guest comes, he's upset. There's no time for eating here in this household. That when do you want to eat? We eat when I come back from work. We don't know. I've gone to this place. We work so much nowadays. We have to travel so far. I've gone to Blackburn or this city. We have no idea what is the schedule. This is the nafs life, my friends. Our timing should meet with what I tell you. The mu'min's timing should meet with the salah timing. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. That this is the time of Salah, and before Salah we'll eat, and then we'll pray Salah this time. Then this is Salah time, I'll pray, eat, have tea. Then this is Salah time again, then I'll have green tea. Eat, drink, mashallah. But plan it around Salah times. With the fadl of Allah. So at this time I'm going to do this action. Between these Salahs I'm going to do this action. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability, capability, and have one motive of life, ittiba'i Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll do this and you'll do this inshallah, and let's improve our lives and make them better. Wa akhru dawana wa akhru dawahum, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.